Welcome to Duncan Thorne-Shields' YouTube channel. I managed to con Duncan into convincing his friend to pay me thousands and thousands of dollars as a professional Counter-Strike player, so maybe he can convince you that some of his analysis is correct.
When you got kicked out the team and you went quite quickly to NIP, here's a question I have, which is people will forget the initial period, which was actually pretty decent. You qualified to the major, kind of shocked everyone. Look, didn't do well at major, but whatever. It was quite early days. Then everyone forgets there was this blast where the fall finals won. You go all the way to the semis. You almost beat FaZe, by the way. And then so it was a top four finish. And this is the point I want to make that people won't remember about this era. This was the era when like Rez had to AWP. Like, this is where they had all these players. Look, these players aren't bad. You've got, like, Hampus and Brolin. They're pretty good players in their role. Essatag's like a Phil player. Rez is himself good, but the problem here is there's no true AWP. So I remember looking at that lineup and thinking, this isn't even a bad team, mate. Like, you watch them play, they're not bad. So then, obviously, the point is, get us an AWPer, right? And this is why I have to ask this question, Lexi B. You know that fucking meme everyone loves now? It originally comes from the idea that a little kid goes, Mom, can we have McDonald's? And then what does the mom say? She goes, we've got McDonald's at home. And then she makes you like a burger herself. Yeah. But it's never a fucking burger. It's like the shit one that she makes with mince, you know, and onions. Yes. And the and you're like, this isn't McDonald's. Well, the joke here is, you know the way I'm going on this one? It's like NIP thought, oh, you know that Monacy guy? We'll get our own Monacy. So they went to Endavi Academy and they were like, can we have a Monacy, please? And they were like, yes, yes. I've got this head trick fellow here. He's just like Ukrainian AWPer. You want one? And this is like Man 2 nightmare fuel mode because he hadn't even been an AWPer. And he's coming to a team where he's going to speak English. They're all fucking Swedes, by the way. It's pretty insane English, by the way, as well. Like they're all like God tier English. And I feel like even if I actually didn't think he was that bad, but like, mate, he wasn't Monacy and he wasn't even an AWPer. Like, didn't you kind of feel a bit cheated by this move? Like, if you could have brought in a real AWPer to this team, couldn't you? He could have cooked a bit, right?
I mean, the other thing is that I feel like after Rez, we had Essatag AWP for a second.
Fucking hell, okay.
Or maybe it was the other
way around. I think that's true. I think it did happen.
And then
yeah.
Rez.
Yes.
But yeah, we did have a couple AWPers even before Hetrick. But I do think that, again, the main problem, like, I don't think, obviously, when you look at it after a while, look, like at that moment, I didn't feel that the problem was an AWPer or anyone. The problem was just the roles, because the roles of Config and Brolin clashed. And in the end, we ended up taking Config. I know that NIP had another option. And he would have fit the team perfectly.
It was Nerds, apparently. I think Hampus said it was Nerds, which would have been insane if it's true.
Yes, 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 yes. And I told the management that, like, it wasn't up to me, but I told the management that I've been in the past of, like, I know that just if we start from scratch, the roles are really important not to clash.
Right.
Because later in the, like, once you get past of the hurdle of like starting the team and starting the process, later in the journey, this will become a problem eventually. And funnily enough, after like 4 roster changes against me or 3 after me, they bench Brolin, and the reason was because of role clash issues. Bro, they were there for a long time already. So the thing is that nothing bad about Config. I think, again, like a super solid teammate, super up front. But it's just like, give me a team that functions on paper and also like kind of about how they are as people and all this stuff, you know? It's like you're already making your life harder when you imagine like this. And I remember when I was talking with Blade, before Navi, he was thinking about this as much as I do, trust me.
Oh, right, okay.
Because we were bouncing back and forth a lot, and right. I was not in the team yet.
Right.
So all I'm saying is, like, I knew that I felt super confident because I already feel like the guy who is suddenly trusting me after all this time of, like, fucking failing in G2 and NIP is, like, he already is looking at 2 steps ahead. Like, he understands that if the team doesn't function, like, it's really hard to get to work, you know? And to me, it's also insane about this role clashes and everything, because what will end up happening is that once you go past, like, 3 or 6 months or around that time, you don't know if the actual issue was that you didn't get players that were like all the same roles. Suddenly you start to think that, oh, this might be the issue or that might be the issue, but the issue was just under your noses, you know, like players don't like being placed on positions they haven't ever played in. Like, trust me, players who play FPL, for example, like you join the server or you mix a team and people need to take spots. Trust me, like some player doesn't like to be jumping B-apps on Mirage, you know, like some players just aren't meant to be there. And like sometimes when I had my teammate think about, oh yeah, I can take this role on, like I can be the A anchor. I'm just telling straight up, like, you are not going A anchor, even though it would be, you would play it better than another guy. We don't want you to do that because you're the best at playing this position. Like, you need to understand you're the star in this role. So that's just why I kind of like get heated about this topic, because I do really think that it's a really important thing, especially on international teams, because there is already so many issues to begin with that you don't want to run into these things later in the run. But yeah, I mean, you spoke about Hetrick at first and this meme, but I do think that Hetrick was he was a sponge, you know, like he was trying to get everything. And like, all respect to Navi Jr. I don't know what they're doing in there or like where they're taking these guys, but I do think that now he joined B8, I hope that he's gonna show his true colors. Sure. Because I also think that everything was just messed, I felt like, in NIP, and it wasn't like 100% of the organization's fault or something like that, but it was just like, I don't fucking know what happened. Sorry for swearing too much.
Nah, I feel don't like, worry about
but it's sorry. Like I don't know. It's just I feel like Hetrick can pull it around because some people doubted him after NIP.
Sure.
And I know that he was better when he joined than when I left, I felt like.
Okay.
So I hope that he's gonna make a 180 and show his true colors.
One of your last moments in NIP almost went well. Like, people forget. You in that last game, which sadly turned into a nightmare against Apex, yeah. You did almost win it though, and you would have been top eight. By the way, Apex went to the semis, and people don't know. I think if you'd have done that last run, it also would have given people a bit more hope. Like, give me some thoughts on this game though, because this is like nightmare fuel. Because if people don't remember, both games are the same. You're from different sides, you have big leads, and then you just blow them away. And it's like probably the worst way to lose a game to not progress, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the games that I kind of. Like, the thing was that the game, it felt so bad, like, trust me, because already, like, the standards I set for myself and the failures in G2 and also the failures in NIP, like, not winning a phase on the stage. We were leading that game 15-14 until Rops again ruins my dreams in Nuke Lower. He gets a triple kill and we end up losing that game. Like, all these small stepping stones, even if they are not winning the trophy, it actually is painting a bigger picture to everything else, because you want to get on stage finally, you want to win a match on stage. Like, this is moving your team forward usually, but just not having those moments and always being the second guy, is that it started to take a toll on me, as I said. And losing this game, even though it was for the major playoffs, the way we lost the game, the way I feel like I lost the game, you know, after that, those kind of leads you lose on the T side, I'm just thinking to myself on the way home, like, if I call B rush 10 times in a row, I'm most likely going to win one of them. And it's like, after the fact, you start thinking about all these nightmare things and whatever. And I just felt like, that after winning the major, trust me, I just felt like all these different things happened for a reason.
Okay.
Because maybe I would have never won the major if all these things didn't happen. If NIP didn't bench me, I'm forever happy for that. So,
well, that's obviously a question I have to ask you, which is, when you got benched, like, all those haters thought they won, mate, because they were like, if he's benched from this team, it's over. Like, you're not going to get it. Like, the idea that, like, remember, no one knew Navi was going to go international this time. That news came out of nowhere. And then when the story comes, like, even though it ended up you didn't have Simple, initially it was also that you're going to have fucking, it's already going international, but that you're going to have Simple as your star player. Like, that's like absolutely going from nothing to like potentially the top, right? What, do you remember getting this news? Do you remember getting this invitation and thinking, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was at my summer house with my family. It was the, so basically, NIP, I left NIP and then, I don't remember. I got a message from NIP that Navi wants to be in touch. I said, like, wants to be in touch, like they're a Ukrainian team and whatever. Like, is it Navi Junior or what? But it's like, I speak with Blade and he's telling the vision and I'm like, holy shit. Like, obviously this is the number one choice. I had other offers as well. But it's like, getting to play with Simple, getting to play with Navi, and just overall failing upwards, as people said after
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Like, it's just like, of course I'm gonna look at this card. Like, I can't let it go, you know. And then, yeah, I mean, I just got this. I was on at my summer house with my family, as I said, and I was speaking to Blade, and just like, he was getting the vibe from me and like asking about my previous teams and how I am and all this stuff. I was asking about how he sees the future, how he sees the lineup, how he sees everything. And I got a really good vibe off the bat. And I remember as well, like, we were a week or two later where I was kind of like locked in with Navi. I would have this, we were talking with my friends and I would kind of like slip to them like, this might be happening. And they were so hyped about it. And one of them was like, you know that Simple has been, he's been saying this, like, after win, you know, after he wins the major, that he might take a break. Like, imagine after all of this,
oh god, this
you join Navi and he just takes a break or like leaves. And we're just all laughing like,
oh, they just made it as a meme. Like, oh, yes. Yeah, imagine.
And then when that day happened, like, you can't, like, my phone just blew up about like these laughing emojis, because like, we were thinking about that moment as a joke,
right,
and it actually happened. And obviously, if you lose a player of that caliber, and like a lot, like, if when you think about Navi, like, he already, you see his name.
He's
like,
iconic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, then it actually happens. And it's like, I was just laughing about it, but like, the rest is history right now. But, and I'm happy we've made it work so far, and like, how Igor, like, wonderful, has filled the shoes of a rookie Oper and making it work. So, yeah, I mean, that was to, like, how I got the news and everything.
I have to ask a question now that I was going to ask at some point in the interview. I think this is the appropriate time before we get into all the really successful period with Navi. It goes like this. From the time that you were in OG, that this weird thing started to get repeated on Reddit all the time. You'll have seen it a million times. It's like, Alexi B only like does teams where he's allowed to micromanage all the players. You remember when you joined G2? Oh my God, he's going to be trying to micromanage Nico until they can. And here's what's weird. I even once made a video where I just did like journalism. I just went to like a bunch of your former teammates and coaches. And I asked them, like, right, when he was in your team, did he micromanage much? What was he like to work with? And what they told me was this. Well, it's kind of what I guesstimate, which is in the teams where people had the least clue, like some of the international lads where people were new to the game or they haven't played that role before, they don't speak great English. They said in those teams, you would take a lot of control because, like, you kind of have to. If you want to make a strat work, you're going to have to, like, tell people what to do. But I've heard, they told me in different teams, depending on the players, you would also give people space or someone could have their role or they could have voices. Like, give me some sense of this because it's something that's followed you your whole career. If you hadn't won the major now, they'd probably be saying it still, mate. So what do you think of this topic?
I don't know about this. Like, this topic has gone way out of hand.
Yes.
And I feel like if you ask some of my recent teammates, or like right now in Navi, for example, it's like, it's like, I don't know, like, what do you think about micromanaging? Do you think, like, I don't understand this. Like, it's like, you need to make mid-game calls where you need everyone on the same page, and that's when someone, even like, I have counted some moments when a teammate dies, it's like a 4-on-4 situation, 4-on-5 or something, and he's saying, guys, I think you should do this, or he's spectating someone and he's telling him, like, careful of this, because he sees something that the other guy cannot see. Like, that's also micromanaging, but it's like, I feel like I'm doing it. And by the way, I've heard, like, the thing is, you hear in international leaders, because we are walking down the studio and whatever, it would be, there is never going to be a world that everybody will hear how IGLs call from start to finish and whatever. But trust me, if we speak about micromanaging, I don't know a single international leader that doesn't do it to the same extent that I would do. At least, let's put it out there that I would do it more than others. Like, I don't mind, you know. Like, you can win a major with that, I guess. Okay. But the thing is that it's like every IGL does it. Everyone does it. And you need to do it. Like, that's how you create those small situations and whatever. But, like, it's micromanaging gets, like, thrown around all the time.
Yes.
But someone needs to be the leader. Someone needs to make those mid-game situations. And trust me, if you see on radar that your lurker on A, for example, is not ready to fight, and you see your teammate ready to fight, you need to tell him, wait for this guy. Or, like, it's... That's the basic thing that what a lot of IGLs do is that they are paying a lot of attention to other players. And other players might not be doing it as much. I know I've had individuals in the past who are way capable of doing it themselves and, like, making these comments or these sentences of, like, you know, get closer and let's double pick, or, like, you do this and I do that, because they see how the round works out. And trust me, if you ask any player that's been, like, top 20 in HLTV, if I micromanage them a lot, I would be surprised if someone said I was, because I give full open hands to everyone as long as it's in the system that we're playing in. So, for example, like, Blade is criticizing us a lot if we jump out of the system. But sometimes I might be saying it because maybe he doesn't realize it happened in the moment. Or it's just like, if you're doing it how we have planned out and how we practice and you are making moves, and especially, trust me, people who don't usually get micromanaged, they have good communication. They are saying what they're doing, what they need. Do they need a flash? Do they need you to be anti-flash? Do they need you to trade him? Like, all these insane players have also this quality of having really good communication. And why do I need to say a word to it if the plan is already made, you know? Like, usually when I'm trying to micromanage, so to say, is when there is no plan. But if someone makes a plan, a lot of the times you have to go with it, because, like, going with the first plan you hear or going with these split-second decisions, that's what's going to win or lose the situation. But to be honest, like, this comment has been thrown around so much about me that that's also one of the things I reflected about. Like, I was starting to think, like, am I like this? And when I joined Navi, I just put my kind of like my legs on the table when I also saw that I have an individual in the team, which was Blade, that's taking control of a lot of the things I was in control in the past. So I was just thinking to myself, like, okay, like, I've reflected and I've done my thinking, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm gonna always pick it up from where I think that I need to say something, but I'm always giving my team the keys to do stuff, and I'm actually, like, encouraging them to do stuff they want to do, as long as they just, like, open their mouth. Like, what do you want to do, like, after games, after practices, before practice? Like, I spent a lot of time with Wonderful as well, like, going through maps and asking him if he wants to do something. Blade was doing it. And it's just like, that's how things work, I feel like.
I want to ask about Blade, and it goes like this. I've actually known this guy a bazillion years, and probably before all of you ever played CS, so, like, literally in the 2000s, when he was actually, like, way back. This is where you just had to type to people on the internet, IRC messages and stuff. And I have always said This guy, even though his English wasn't as great back then, is easily one of the smartest people in Counter-Strike I've ever met, mate. And actually specifically about Counter-Strike. Like, because he's so old school, I always tell people, my nickname for him is the professor. Because it's like, no one ever taught this guy Counter-Strike. He taught everyone else Counter-Strike. Like, he's got like theories that come back from years, and we have seen the game that's seen all versions, all star play, everything. And so it's why I can see why in his teams, you know, he often makes a statement in a new lineup that fans think is just PR shit. He'll often say, like, this is going to take like 3 months to get, or 6 months to get going. And people think, oh, it's an excuse. He's saying that's a, you know, if you do badly at the LANs. It's like, no, he really means, like, he wants all the players to see the game the way he thinks it should work. Like you say, he wants a system where everyone understands. That's why there's all those fucking dossiers with all the pages. Like, he really is like a fucking university professor, and you have to do your homework if you're in a fucking player team. You don't just turn up like, yeah, I'm fragging, what's going on? Like, that ain't good. Even if you win the game, that isn't good enough. So give me some thoughts on working with this guy, because is that a bit intimidating? I mean, he seems like a guy where it's hard to argue against him, right?
Yes, I mean, for sure. And I feel like the thing is that there's a couple qualities that why he makes it work so well. First of all, and I think one of the things that I've seen in my past teams why the team didn't work, one of the things is that he's like, he has the pieces to his puzzle. So he understands, like, he trusts the pieces. As I told you, like, he's creating the team and like brainstorming about if it's going to work on paper. Then the second thing is that he's making everyone buying into a solid system. Because the thing with my past teams is, it's a lot of the times very easy, if there is no like one straight line, it's very easy that someone starts to offer something from their past team, or they done something differently, but it's like, no, we're gonna do it this way. And like, everybody got the memo on the first bootcamp that we're gonna start from scratch, and we're gonna believe in something, and we're gonna work with something, and we're gonna make it work, because it has been working. If we're gonna be like real about it, the system has been working. So it's just like getting five individuals to believe in one system. Like, once you do that, you already like so much far, like so far ahead, because everybody's thinking about the game the same way. So naturally, you're going to play a lot of situations good. This other thing is that the guy is like, he's like a machine when it comes to working. So he makes you work, and we have long days. Like, I've never had as long days in any other team I've been in, so I can already speak about, like, that already proves me that it also, like, it's not only the system and everything, but it's also the fact that we are putting in so many hours, and we try to also keep it like quality hours. Obviously, sometimes you get fatigued or like a player might lose a bit of focus here and there, but the thing is that we also worked really hard and a lot, and that has also proven me that made me believe and also respect him in a type of way, because it's not like he only talks. Some people might think about him like that, but it's like he actually makes you work as well. And the fact is that he's the coach, the sixth guy. And I've had coaches that kind of like are there to coach and whatever. But this guy is like, even after the 10 or 12 hour day, he could still be on bootcamp like watching something like for the next day, or reviewing our practice, what he wants to think about next time. It's like, so he also puts in the work. So that's like, those qualities for me is like, you already so far ahead of your competition as a coach, and I can say that with being confident, because I've had many coaches, is that I think that it's no surprise to me how we can make it work. Even when people say that, and it's true that we hopefully after this year we're going to have like the names in our team are gonna solidify themselves in like the top players, but it's like he started to work with pieces. People didn't trust in me when he was thinking about me, and people didn't think about Ima and Justik. They were just like, they just played in the first major playoffs, but they didn't have too much data before that. And then even Simple left, which was kind of like his left hand, you know, like he's also been doing all the dirty work when it comes down to winning impossible rounds and yes. like just elevating your team to this level that is hard to reach. So it's like everything I'm seeing is just I don't mind your comments about him. I think they're definitely true.
By the way, look, we'll obviously talk about Wonderful in a sec, but the day you did find out Simple's fucking taking a break, did you just think, am I just cursed? Like, what am I doing in this shit? Like, does it just never get to work out for me? Like, that's pretty insane to find out he's just gone. Brilliant. What was it like?
I mean, in a way, yes. But as I said, like, already kind of like speaking about it and kind of like knowing that this guy is probably feeling a lot of... he's probably feeling tired, as in, you know, living in a different country, knowing the state of mind about your own country and family and everything. Like, I don't know any details, by the way.
I
understand enough not to like even ask. Like, it's not my business, and I can't imagine myself in that state. But you could already, even before joining Navi or thinking about this, you could already feel kind of this, he's done it so much for such a long time, and you knew that he was a grinder. Like, he would stream all the time, like even after tournament losses, he would put his FPL stream on or something like that. Like, you could feel that he was fatigued or he was tired, but so it wasn't like a huge shock to me. But the thing was that, yeah, I mean, losing an individual of that caliber, it would be the same that, you know, in some of my other teams, like the star player would just suddenly leave. Like, it's not a good thing to any team where if your best performing player would suddenly just leave.
When you got Wonderful, though, I have to say, this was a move that I thought was one of the most genius moves I've ever seen, because not only is he coming in to be like the AWPer, but I even think if, you know, I used to say this all the time on desks about device, but if you're a young AWPer, Wonderful's another person to watch, because he's also someone who's AWPing correctly. He's not just going out there like hitting all crazy shots like Modesty and Simple do. I actually think if you want your in-game leader to love you as an AWPer, play the way this guy does, where you play it in like a set way, you take similar position, you're just reliable, and not only that, you're reliable in your positioning, but then you're reliable in your shots. Like, this guy reminds me of Device, mate. He hits every single 7 out of 10 difficulty shot. Like, you can even see that he's going to hit the shots on his screen. Like, I feel like as an IGL, look, he isn't Simple, he's not going to be like 1.5 rating or whatever the fuck that guy, but like, this is a really great piece to work with as an AWP, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's built a lot of confidence, because like joining a team on, like, I tried to fill Simple shoes, and having the community, like the Ukrainian community and everybody like doubting it, and then kind of like pulling it off in a way that no one could have imagined, is like, that's pretty hard to do. Like, that's really hard to do. And like, even if he didn't say it out loud to himself, but he must have had some kind of pressure about it. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that he's pulled it off great, and the guy was shy when he joined the team, but I already feel like all these boot camps and everything under our belts, I feel like he already, I see him believing in himself a lot more, and I like just as you said about the IGL, like thinking of something about a player, it's just like, I like the fact that he buys into the system so well, because he doesn't mind about, or I don't feel that he minds that he might be left out of the action, but it might be for the greater good.
Yes.
Like, it might be because now your teammates can be set up in this kind of way because you're controlling with an AWP and all this stuff. So he understands it, and he doesn't have this ego that is like, you know, creating arguments or like, why am I not finding impact or something like this. So he's buying into the system, and he's constantly learning, constantly like getting his voice higher in the team when it comes down to, as I said, like, he's still a young guy and he can still improve a lot on just being like vocal and just like even like trusting his ability and his ideas and where he wants a teammate to go even more. And when I see him also do that more and more, it just, you know, I played with these guys a lot that I feel like they have a great future. And the future is only in their hands. It's not right. How the team functions. It's how they elevate themselves and how they are going to dictate how they're going to play the game. Because at the end of the day, if you are holding that role of oping, and like you need to be vocal, you need to be there to move other pieces so you can have impact, or you're going to hold an angle so the others are going to have impact. Like when you learn and understand that, like you're going to play solid. Like you're going to be the guy that doesn't need to be flashy in order to understand the impact.
At the major, when you guys were in the semi-final against G2, the third map was obviously Ancient. I mean, obviously that ended up actually being quite a key map in this tournament because of the final as well. But in this particular one, it's funny that actually when G2 lost this game, everyone flamed them again for their veto. Because bro, I actually think, I know why them and Carrigan did the like wanted Ancient to be the map, because mate, Navi's a bit sus on Ancient going into that tournament. Like, there's been a lot of games where I've seen Navi just get shit stomped and not look like they know what they're doing. Like, and in this game, by the way, people will forget you won the one against G2 because JL also went mental on that map too. It was one where he was just smurfing on everyone, killing from ridiculous scenarios with a pistol. This was to be a very nervy third map, right? I mean, I'm sure from the veto, from even in the game itself, this was really dangerous stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of gave me some confidence in it was that Blade came back and told us it's going to be Ancient and he feels good about it because he didn't feel like they were too confident on the veto. Like,
right.
And the thing is that I wasn't doing the veto. In Navi, we are doing everything beforehand. Like, we know all the outcomes. And I do know, like, if someone surprises Blade on the veto, he's going to do it himself because it just leaves me more time to warm up and think about, like, how I'm going to get in the zone and all this stuff. But the thing is that, yeah, he came back and he told us the news and I was like, yeah, sure. Like, we were expecting, like, this was a possibility because we played them two times on Inferno, if I remember correctly. We lost one time 13-11, another time we won 13-11,
yep, both
and then one more time we before the major we practiced each other. Let's say it was like a tight game, like 12-12 or something like that. But it's like, they've lost to us a couple times now, and I know from previously when I battled a team and didn't manage to win, like the first thing you do is sometimes you switch up the veto. So it wasn't like a huge surprise, but to be honest, I was expecting more Inferno Decider because I knew that they're not going to pick Inferno this time. I had a feeling about this, that they're going to pick something else because previously they were picking Inferno, but they're going to pick something else now because they kept losing to us, but the Decider is going to be Inferno.
Right.
But we were thinking about the fact that it could be Ancient, but I didn't believe in it. But once I heard it, I was like, might as well. And it was the same thing against FaZe in the final when instead of picking Nuke, they picked Ancient.
Yes. In the final, let me ask you this question, right? Obviously, when Carrigan did that veto, he'd already been cooking like a motherfucker in every other veto, hadn't he? He'd done the spirit one, then he got away with it, even though they did the double bluff on Vertigo, which, by the way, he definitely did not think they were going to actually do that as the third map. Like, I don't think he knows he like got away with one on that one. Then against Vitality, even though there was no point even letting them pick Vertigo there, he let them do it and actually got smashed, but it didn't matter because he won the series. And then in the final, it's like, again, he's fucking... I will say now, I guarantee he knows he overcooked that one, because if FaZe just picks Nuke there, bro, their chances get so much better in this series. Like, that's what you call overcooking, right, Alexi? Like, it wasn't necessary to do the Ancient pick, right?
It wasn't necessary, but I do like the fact that once, like, they are the top one team and they have a deep map pool.
Yeah.
And I, like, it's probably giving you the confidence to do things like that when your team is backing you up so much. Like, I remember FaZe doing a lot of these risky things and the teammates on the interviews after or on social medias or something, like they're like backing him up like crazy. Like it is a really quality trait by the teammates, by the
sure.
way,
yeah,
because
yeah.
that's the right 100% right thing to do. And when he got praised by the Vertigo Vito, bro, it takes balls to do that shit. And I think he came up with the idea. I could be wrong, but I think it was him. And it's like they ended up pulling it off, and it was the perfect Vito against Spirit at that time as well,
yes.
having lost the previous grand final against them. And it's just like, again, on they trusted their map pool, and they knew that we just won G2 on Ancient. Maybe they checked our Ancient and they were still not convinced, because we still, before G2, struggled, like, yeah. looked like we struggled on it. But the thing is that that was the reason they went for Ancient, right? Like, they trusted their map pool, they still thought they were the number one team, they had the deeper map pool, we were... And maybe they also thought that we're going to prepare Nuke more and they're going to surprise us. I don't know. But when I heard it was Ancient instead of Nuke, we are really good. Like, I feel like Nuke is one of our best maps, you know? But we also know that they are really good on Nuke.
Sure.
And usually when you go into these games, like, sometimes when it's that deep to a tournament, sometimes you think that, oh, this team is for sure going to just only go by their strength. And they're not going to think about you that much. But they went with the route of, like, trying to punish pick into us. But, like, obviously it's easier to say after the fact. What if
yeah,
we just
course.
Lost Ancient? They would have... The same thing is, like, they made a nice veto in that way. But us winning Ancient, then getting smashed on our map pick, it's just, like, changed the dynamics a bit. And yeah, they were... But it definitely... proves to me that you're playing such a strong team when they're so flexible about their vetoes and whatnot. And then they go to China 2 days later and just win a trophy. So, I mean, to me, they're like... I had a moment to be like try and be top one HLTV without a fight. But now they're just
okay.
bringing the fight.
Sure.
Like, we just need to
sure.
just need to be sharp next tournaments.
I mean, to your point, one of the reasons also why Carrigan can get away with that, where other people might not be able to, is, like you saw on the next map, they can win your map. Like, they also knew in the veto, well, you're
yeah.
probably going to pick something like Mirage, so we're going to have a good chance. That, like, that's what I want to know. This is the part everyone doesn't ask about this major, is, bro, the win on Ancient is awesome. It's their map pick. They've tried to punish you. You win on it anyway. That's got to be an awesome feeling. But then to go onto your map pick and not just lose, you got absolutely destroyed. Like, what does
yes.
that... Everyone wants to say, oh, I would still be confident in the third. What happened after that map? Did people actually get rattled? Did people reset? Were you able to feel confident for Inferno?
I felt we were confident. The thing is that we won Pistol and managed to lose the round after. And once you lose a force buy, especially to a team like FaZe... Like, they were 5 alive, winning a force buy, so they all picked up our weapons. We are 1.4 in money. They win the next round with 5 alive, I think it was. Like, already at that point, it's like MR12, and you're against FaZe. They're on the CT side, which I think they are, like, just world class in. Like, all of the individuals are making really good calculated plays. And the thing is, like, now you're off to a rough start. But I actually do think the game was like 13-2 or 13-3.
13-2, yeah.
If you watch it back, that was not the score. Trust
okay,
me.
Okay.
That was not the score, especially on T side. We had at least 3 gun rounds. Maybe we couldn't have switched the economy instantly because of what I just said about them just beating us on the 3 first buys with so many people alive, but we threw like 3 gun rounds. We B-popped on Carrigan. The closest nearby player
yes.
was like all the way out mid, all the way out jungle. End up losing that round. Then we had like a site fully in our control. Managed to lose that. We had more like rounds that we definitely could have won to make the match more competitive. But once you have so few rounds and you go to the CT side and lose the pistol, I mean, you cannot win. Basically, at that point anymore. So I do think that the map should have been a bit more competitive. They did play a lot better. I'm not arguing that, but 13-2 was not
okay.
Not what I expected. When I watched
sure.
the board, I was like, what is this? Like, there's no way. We only got 2 rounds if we play like this. But yeah, I mean, it's also like, to me, it's like we won their map pick, they won our map pick, and maybe that was also the deciding factor going to the third one, that both of us can win our, like, each other's map picks. Like, it doesn't matter. Now we're going into the decider, and we both were decent on Inferno before going into Inferno. Sure. Obviously, they didn't lose a single game on it the past 3 months, but the thing is that we didn't give up at all. It felt like we even went to the third map with a lot more hunger than on the second one.
In the third map, I actually think people will forget this detail, which is the whole tournament long, Bit was just fucking chilling, mate. Like, he was just having okay games or right games. Maybe he'd have, like, you know, a round there and there. That last map was like the guy from 2021 just came out of a time machine or something, like, because some of these rounds on T-side are mental. He just pops out himself out of the park, just kills like three people. It was insane. And if people don't know, at the end of this map, he had 133 ADRs. Like, he just, what the fuck was that? What was that?
Yes. I actually witnessed this happening a lot of times on our practice. Even on officials, I think he had a couple games like this on Inferno. I don't know what happened to him and Inferno, but he's just popping off on this map way more often than any other individual in our team. Like, he just feels the map. But the thing is, I didn't realize this happened. I didn't realize it for, like, I got home, I spent like 1 day at home, maybe the second day. I opened the game on my TV and I wanted to watch it back like one more time. Just wanted to watch it back. And on the third map, I was like with my mouth open, just watching like this. What did I miss? Like, I was so in the zone on that game, like only thinking about my screen. I remember I wasn't cheering on any round. Like, I was always okay, like, thinking about the next round, like, super thinking that even if we're leading 10-2, like, we can still manage to lose, like, all right, so in the zone, like, trying to think about, like, just, like, getting it over the finish line. And then when I rewatched the game, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I've never seen a individual performance like that. I felt like in a moment like that, I've seen good moments, but, like, in a grand final on a map 3, and I've been in a lot of grand finals, and I feel like I've lost countless of times. Like, I've forgot how it feels to win, you know? I open my phone after watching that, and I just send him, like, I don't remember what I sent him, but I just send him, like, a message of, like, sorry for not understanding, like, how you managed to play map 3. Like, that was the best CS I've ever seen anyone play. Like, I'm like, I have the most respect having played with you, no matter what happens in the future. Not saying that he will leave or I will leave the team,
of course, sure.
But I just proved to myself, sure, like, someone like did this and I managed to play this game with him and managed to win this trophy with him. It just felt me, like, made me feel so good when I saw this, like, from his perspective, kind of.
Sure. And then the other player I want to ask about is obviously the guy who's the MVP, JL, because it goes like this. He was already, if actually you watched since he joined Na'Vi, guys, like a sleeper fragger. He obviously wasn't set up to be like a superstar player, but he'd always have maps actually where he'd like frag 25 bomb or something, or he'd win the odd clutch. This one major, though, he went to the fucking, just like the 10 levels above, though. Like, not only was he fragging out, obviously, in these later playoff matches, but the amount of fucking 1v1s and 1v2s was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what happened to him this tournament, because even like during the boot camp, and by the way, like I think I'm the closest with him. Like, I spend a lot of time with him, like, right, talking this and that or whatever. So it's like I can speak a bit more openly about him, I feel like. But it's the thing is that even before, like, he had some maps that he openly said he still wants to learn a bit more or whatever. And then even on practice, I remember one time, I'm not going to say the map out loud, but he was like, I hate this map or something like this. He had a situation or something. And then I remember, like, during the major, at one time, I asked him, like, do you understand? Like, you are playing the map that he hated. He's playing it not only better than any other map he's played, but, like, now it's his best map. And then he's telling me like about the work he did behind that, like how he got it to work. But then I was like, yeah, but like even like a bit over a week ago, you're saying like you hate the map. But then it's like, I just think that the repetitions he's making and just the fact that he openly understood that he might have needed more work on these maps. Once he got into the zone in the officials, I think that he just, I don't know, some individuals can do it, but he just fully overcame it in within 2 weeks of time. And he played it like those roles and as like an elite player. And I don't know, I just felt like, okay, after the quarterfinal, I'm just feeling like maybe tomorrow he's going to have a bit of an off day. Or maybe it's in the final he's going to have a bit of an off day. But it's like he just kept showing and showing like all the way to the end. And I don't know, I just feel so proud of him because once we joined in the team and like all the struggles we had in Navi, like I always felt like sometimes in the teams I've played in and the work I've done or getting thrown into shit situations, you don't see your team behind you.
Sure.
You know, like you don't see your team behind you. And I feel like when we, like, I always try to be there for my teammates when they're having a shit time, whether it's me trying to send a message or like, you know, trying to re-encourage someone. But like, for the first time in like a long time, I felt like someone was actually doing it. Like he was actually maybe sometimes a bit too corny about it, but like he was, you know, saying nice stuff about me out loud. But actually, it's not, he might have said a couple lines that maybe he just threw out of his
I mean,
ass,
that one was good where he was like, thanks nice. To Nip or whatever the fuck that one, like, that,
yeah,
was, that,
yeah,
was, pretty
whatever.
Funny. That was pretty funny.
But it's like, at least you are feeling that sure. someone has your back,
yeah.
even though I don't know 100% does he mean everything sure. he says, you know? But it's like, at least he's doing the effort, and I respect him for that, you know? Like, you're showing to me that you're a good teammate, you know? That's what a teammate needs to do. And it's like, I couldn't be more than happy. Like, as soon as the game ended, I know he's going to be the MVP. And I felt so happy that he's going to be the MVP because after all the things he also did for me, you know? But it's just, before the major, I couldn't have guessed that he's going to do it in a fashion that he didn't drop in his level at all. I feel like it just
got better and better.
Up.
Yeah.
And like the only reason we won the decider against G2 on Ancient was because of his Deagle / AKAs, which just completely shifted the momentum. Like they were about to run with the game like 5-0 on the T side of Ancient. But it's like only that round just also like added to the fact that we were able to win this tournament.
Normally, if an underdog wins the major, it's going to be a close game and, you know, you're going to be so in the game, it won't be until you win, you'll realize. You actually got to win the deciding map just like by so much that like there must have been these moments where you start to realize I might be about to actually win the fucking major. Like, did you get that feeling? I've heard like all sorts of weird stuff. Some people say time slows down or some people say you get more nervous and think, oh, fuck, don't fuck it up. Or what was happening when the score was getting, you know, remember now we only need 13 in CS now when it's going like 9, 10, 11, 12. What was happening when it was going up like that?
Literally nothing. Like I felt nothing at all until I smoked short, decided round. I smoked short and we smoked long. So both choke points smoked. And I'm aiming top car or like top short. I kill, I think it was Kerrigan jumping on top. And I know it was a 1-on-3. The bomb is ticking. Like after that kill was the only time during the whole game, during the whole best of three that I knew that we're going to win the match. Like I can unplug everything and we're going to win the match. Like there's no chance he can even defuse the bomb. Most likely they didn't have kits because they force bought. But it's just like after that kill, I just remember like I can't explain to you what I felt inside of me. But it's like I already at that moment I just felt this euphoria of like you know, instantly starting to cry, instantly starting to smile, instantly starting to laugh. You know, I couldn't control any of my emotions, even though before that day, like I was even before the tournament, like I was manifesting the fact that I'm gonna lift a trophy one day or I'm gonna fucking win the major. And even before the day, I knew I'm gonna like take my shirt off after I win the final.
Okay.
Yes, but it's like when we won, I couldn't control myself for at least like 30 seconds to 1 minute, even though I thought about this moment and how it's going to feel. Like, you can never guess how it actually feels.
What did you actually do when you ran out in the crowd? Was that like your family in the crowd or something? What the fuck were you doing?
It was like, my family was watching it. My mom and dad, they were watching. My dad actually traveled to one event with me in like to Abu Dhabi World Finals. But my mom and dad and my whole family was in Katowice, and they decided to, like, they already booked the tickets when I made the playoffs. I was about to call them, like, do you want to come and see me again or something? Like, they're so supportive, don't get me wrong, but my mom is usually watching HLTV Scorebot,
okay,
even though she doesn't know anything okay about the game. But the thing is that they came to watch it. Some of my best friends were at the crowd. My girlfriend was at the crowd. Like, everything was just so important because they know, like, how all these 5 years and all the downs I went through as well, especially my partner, like, it's just like, I just needed to find them as soon as it finished. Like, as soon as we lifted the trophy, I just needed to find them.
One thing you've said, which I think is quite a very important, I would say it's like the biggest lesson someone can take out of this story, is what you could have done in your career is, like I said, feel cursed. Just like, oh, I got bad luck here, then this person there, then they didn't get me an AWPer, and then this player left, and then they kicked me out of G2, right? Some people might think the best way to overcome that is just go, right, delete it. Never happened. Fresh start, right? I'm in Na'Vi now. What sounds like you did the opposite. You actually took what I think is actually the secret of life, which is everyone's going to have fucked up things happen and bad things. And they're going to get, there's times you're going to get lucky, but there's times you're going to get unlucky. And there's times when you do good, but it's not quite enough. The secret of life I've found is you have to actually take that like a lesson. It's easy to say, it's very hard to do, but you really do. Like, I'll give the analogy, right? It's like if you started out and you didn't know how to fight with any kind of weapon, and someone taught you by just showing you, like, right, at the moment you can't block, like, you know, a stick hitting you in the legs. If they keep doing that to you, eventually, if you're smart, you'll learn to block that one move, right? And you'll have that in your arsenal. Now no one can get you in the leg. So now maybe they use, I don't know, a sword, and you have to, like, learn to parry it or whatever. Eventually, you're going to go... If you actually take the worst bits in life like this, it is how at the end you have the big success, sort of, right?
Yes, I mean, I feel like it all came to, all the stars aligned, like, finally, you know? Like, it's hard to, like, these things have always been dreams, and trust me, like, I've been in so many international teams, and the same thing happens, like, this, the staff gets hired, there are people in the background, mental coach and whatever. You have these meetings with the whole team. You are, like, thinking about the future, setting up a goal. By the way, the goal is always to win the major. But the thing is that it started to feel like utopia than more than that than reality. Because I've been in so many times the same spot,
right,
the same professionals being hired, making the same talks. The team, my teammates always have the same goals. I'm thinking, listening the same thing over and over and over, where to some people it might be their first time having a talk like this. And it's just like, I feel like everything, like, all the stars aligned, as I said, and at that point I just felt like everything that happened in my career was meant to happen, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And also the thing you said about how I'm thinking about life, I think it is true, because I've been on the what it feels like to be on this high that you are, your career is only going upwards. Then I've been on the path of actually starting to think that is something wrong with me, because I'm not making it work with these pieces of the puzzle that I've never had this caliber of players before, and I'm not winning. Like, what's the issue? And, like, all the different arguments, reflections, and talks I've had with different kind of people, it's just, I just decided that, like, it was meant to be this way. And I also accepted the fate of my past when I joined Na'Vi, also because my tenure in G2 and NIP were not good at all if you're the sure. outsider and you don't know the insights, or even if you know the insights, you still don't have deep runs or trophies. And that's something that you want as a competitor, as a athlete, as an individual. You're setting these goals for yourself, and I'm just not reaching them. But then, like, reaching the thing that you thought that you've heard that is the dream of all these players you've ever played with, and is the most pressured thing, is the most, the thing they would give up all these different trophies for, this major trophy. So after winning that, I just thought to myself, like, holy shit, it was all just meant to be this way.
I also feel like, even though this will sound like a strange comment, and obviously we love all the Na'Vi players, no offense to them, I feel like also winning with this lineup means that, like, people who are haters have a really difficult time making those same arguments again. Because if you had won when you'd been in G2, what everyone would say if they were haters, they'd go, well, he had Nico and Monashy, didn't he? And then if you'd have won when Simple was here, they'd go, bro, Simple already would have made it, right? It's not that these players are bad, but like we said, this is a very ambitious project. Like, Blade had to pick these pieces and kind of know what he was seeing and what role he could play. When you win a major in this sense, people have to give you credit, right? Some of it has to be you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I let everybody decide that by themselves, because I've already made peace with myself. Like, I know I made history of like Finnish CS, and I made history overall. And for myself, this was the ultimate goal, and now the goal is to try to reach the second one. But the thing for me is that I don't care anymore what people say, even though I kind of said previously as well that I don't care. But at the end of the day, I felt this. That I did care a bit.
Yeah.
Because I was so self-critical as well, even during G2 and NIP, that people didn't even have to tell me, and I already knew. Like, it became really bad, because it was twice as much spanking to my own back. But now I made peace of mind in terms of I was capable of doing it. Like, all the self-doubt I had, I just threw out the window. Now, like, I don't care what happens in the future. Like, I know I'm always going to be capable if I'm doing the same amount of work, if I have the same amount of motivation, and if people just trust me. Like, it is possible.
One of my last questions is this. The way I know you must be at peace with it and you've accepted fate, etc., is because when you won, like, you did that tweet, like, you know, all the benchings, like, that was quite a cool tweet. But actually, you just kept it positive when you won. I can't lie, right? If I won in a scenario, I already did do it when I won the Esports Award, believe it or not, right? I would do what, even though me and him seem like opposites, I would do what GL did, mate. I'd be like, fuck the haters. Like, I mean, if I were you, I'd be like, fuck Ents, fuck NIP. You know, I'd do the whole list. It's kind of my style. I like to just flex on people, you know. You haven't done that. You've kind of just been cool. Like, you could have been mean. You could be like, hey, what's up, Alu? You know, like, hey, fucking, yeah, hi. It wasn't a temptation. It wasn't
me. Trust me. This was one of the things I was manifesting, and this was one of the things that was like, I was thinking about it, like, even before winning or anything. This was even, I remember in Katowice with G2, I was also on this tournament thinking about it, like, even in the group stage, because there was so much, like, shitty comments. And during this major, I was thinking about it, like, imagine I'm just, like, I just put a draft, like a tweet draft,
sure.
that I'm just, like, I just hit send as soon as the sure. match is over. But I just know, like, that's not me. Like,
okay.
even though I have these dark thoughts, or these thoughts of, like, one-upping someone or like, but I've learned that you're the bigger man if you don't
right.
do it.
Sure, that's
the way I'm, like, going forward with life, whether it's CS or everything. I've accepted that that's just how I'm gonna move on in life, no matter what happens. So I'm proud I didn't do that,
okay.
because I would have let down myself
right
in the future, and
okay.
like how I handled myself thus far, and I feel like that's just the way to go. But when you said it like that, like, trust me,
okay.
it came down in my mind.
At the end of this interview, it was a long one, but we got through everything. Do you have a final message? Do you want to thank anyone or say hello to anyone?
I want to thank Mihai. because we didn't speak about him this interview, and I was
Imma. Yes,
we spoke about everybody in the team.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to also include him, and I just wanted to say that I already told him, or he knows what I told him on the after party, so he can keep that to himself. But I'm just super proud about the work he did, and just the fact that he got the most flack out of anyone. Yeah. And even during the major, he had like this drop off in form that I don't think he believed that he could have himself either. And it was like the most important moment it could happen. Like, we're playing the major now, and we worked a lot to be here. Like, and he's getting a pile of shitty comments on top of that, and even being bombarded on interviews. Like,
True.
Or like during the major, the games, and he's making these interviews and thinking about it himself, and I'm sure it's affecting him, because I know it affected me when I was in his shoes, or like I was like kind of like taking the blame, or people are blaming the shifting the blame to me. So I'm just like, I'm just so proud, and yeah, he knows what I told him, but it's just the fact that all the scene knows as well that this guy made he worked so much for this moment, and he made the Romanians proud for sure. And I do think that it is also no coincidence that he's played in two major finals in a row, actually. And not many people have been able to do that. And I mean, if he had a downshift in form, I don't think he ever made me feel like he was not a part of the team or not in the server or, you know, not doing his job. So yeah, I'm super proud of him as well as of every other guy.
Any final remarks?
I mean, my throat is starting to hurt because I've been rambling so much. Thanks for everyone. And as I said previously as well, like, thanks for believing in me. I know this interview kind of turned in the like towards the end. It kind of turned into this. I'm still like, you know, feeling the happiness of like winning the last tournament I was in, because we didn't play Chengdu and EPL is coming up. But like, this was a good moment for the interview, because kind of like from my early career to finally winning a trophy again, I couldn't have imagined a better timing to do it. But yeah, thanks for you for taking me to this interview. I thought above 3 hours should do it for people for a couple years now.
Yeah, there you go.
Till the next one. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for everyone for believing in me, and just happy to be here. Happy to still keep playing some Counter-Strike, and happy to make peace with myself.
Yeah, kithos.
Kithos.
In this esports world, it can seem like everyone's against you, but I've always got the Skrilluminati, my Patreon community, riding with me. And it is thanks to the support of the following people, this video and all of them on my channel are made possible. Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ahmed Haju, Frisky, Tosh, Jensen Gore, Animosity, Toucan, Tobias Bernasconi. If you've ever watched my videos, you know now I'm going to give a massive shout out to Jerky's Minion, the main man. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? You want teasers? Find out who the upcoming interview guests are. Maybe you want to ask me a question. I tend to answer them at length in my video AMA. Do you want to take part in one of those dinner discussions where we talk about what you're interested in esports? Well, if any of these perks or more appeal to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box below is a Patreon link.